Go back with me, if you will, to the first sentence of our second reading today, which comes from the beginning of the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. And there we hear this from the Apostle Paul. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Encouragement, solace, compassion and mercy, joy. These are things that we all seek. And at certain moments in our lives, we seem to have an even greater need for. One of those times for me was in December of 2001. I had just completed my first semester in the seminary, and in general, things had gone well. I had settled into just a daily rhythm of prayer that kind of structured the whole of our life in the seminary, and I was especially grateful to be living under the same roof as the Blessed Sacrament. I could just walk down the hall and be with our Lord in the chapel. I'd done well in my classes and already had created some very good friendships with brother seminarians. But in my heart, I was also still grappling with the same fears that had probably kept me from even being open to the seminary sooner. The priesthood still seemed something far beyond what I could ever live. I wondered if I had what it would take. Surely I lacked the wisdom and the confidence and the skills that people expect to find in their priests. And so I settled into my first seminary retreat that December. And I sat down in a rocking chair at the retreat center, and I opened the book that had been recommended to me, Story of a Soul, by St. Thérèse of Lisieux. I opened the book wondering somewhat what I might be able to learn from this woman whose life was so different from mine. She lived in France 150 years ago. Her life consisted of 15 ordinary years growing up in her family and then 9 years in a cloistered Carmelite convent before she died of tuberculosis at the young age of 24. And yet, almost immediately, as I read her words, I found those things that St. Paul spoke about in that second reading today. Encouragement, solace, compassion and mercy, and joy. It's why I still have this book, even after many others over the years have come and gone from my shelves. Because like anyone, I still have those moments when fear presses in and I need to return here to be reminded of what she whom we call the little flower is able to teach me so that I can find encouragement and solace anew. My thoughts turn to her today because October 1st is the feast of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And since her feast falls this year on Sunday, I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to share some reflections on her teaching that led St. John Paul II to name her one of the doctors of the church in 1997. And actually, this year we celebrated the 150th birthday of St. Thérèse and the 100th anniversary of her beatification. What was it that encouraged me and brought me joy in these pages? Well, there's something on just about every page, but if I had to choose just one, it would be this passage that I want to read for you this morning. St. Thérèse wrote this: "It is impossible for me to grow up. So I must bear with myself such as I am with all my imperfections. But I want to seek out a means of going to heaven by a little way, a way that is very straight, very short, and totally new. We are living now in an age of inventions, and we no longer have to take the trouble of climbing stairs, for in the homes of the rich, an elevator has replaced these very successfully. I wanted to find an elevator which would raise me to Jesus, for I am too small to climb the rough stairway of perfection. I searched then in the scriptures for some sign of this elevator, the object of my desires. And I read these words coming from the mouth of eternal wisdom: whoever is a little one, let him come to me. And so I succeeded. I felt I had found what I was looking for. But wanting to know, O my God, what you would do to the very little one who answered your call, I continued my search, and this is what I discovered. As one whom a mother caresses, so will I comfort you. You shall be carried at the breasts, and upon the knees they shall caress you. Ah, never did words more tender and more melodious come to give joy to my soul. The elevator which must raise me to heaven is your arms, O Jesus. And for this I had no need to grow up, but rather I had to remain little and become this more and more. This is the great insight of St. Therese, this call to littleness and to become little more and more. It's what draws so many to her. It's what led Pope St. Pius X to call her the greatest saint of modern times. Paradoxically, her littleness led her to become this great saint. We need not be or do anything that the world would call extraordinary. In fact, what we need to be is little, childlike. Which really should not surprise us, because it's exactly what St. Paul tells us to do when he exhorts us to have the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who emptied and humbled himself. You see, St. Therese wasn't inventing some new gospel. She perceived the heart of the gospel, which was that God himself became little to the point of allowing himself to be pierced on the cross out of love for us. And so you and I are called to the same. When Jesus speaks in the gospel about conversion today, about changing our minds in order to do the will of our Father, he's calling us above all to this conversion to littleness. To not think that I have to be in control and have a plan for my life, but I just have to become little in the hands of God. It's the fundamental conversion of our life as Christians. What does it look like to become more and more little? Elsewhere in her autobiography, St. Therese summarizes it with two words: surrender and gratitude. Surrender and gratitude. Surrender means always living in trust. No matter what happens, believing that God is with us and will not let us go. Surrender means living our lives with open hands, not clinging to my own preferences and desires, my own plans, but allowing God to lead and guide me, and trusting even when things seem dark and confusing. When the temptation is to think that God doesn't have me and I have to take control. That's surrender. And living this way naturally leads to gratitude. One who looks to God for everything also learns to thank God for everything, because everything is gift. Or in the language of St. Therese, everything is grace. It's so radical that living that spirit of surrender even helps us to see our crosses, our sufferings, our trials as gifts, as graces, because they become the context within which we can grow in faith and hope and love, when they call forth from us greater faith, hope, and love, even heroic faith, hope, and love. This is the little way of St. Therese of Lisieux, in which I have found so often great encouragement and solace. This little way is the elevator that will raise us directly to Jesus. So today, as we celebrate her feast day, may we learn from her. May we find in her teaching encouragement. Learn from her as from a little sister how to live our lives in this way, and so one day be raised by the elevator of Jesus' arms to the heights of glory and perfect joy in the Father's house, the kingdom of heaven. St. Patrick.